first new PBS American Experience documentary delves into the life and legacy of controversial Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy, from his origins as a farm kid to lawyer to lawmaker. McCarthy served as Wisconsin senator in Washington, D.C. from 1947 until his death in 1957. His career will always be linked with the Cold War and his role in the Red Scare. Sharon Grimberg is the documentary filmmaker behind McCarthy. The documentary airs tonight at 8 as part of the PBS American Experience series. Sharon, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, we refer to Joseph McCarthy and the idea of McCarthyism a fair amount in American culture and politics, but it doesn't seem like we are really in touch with who he was and what he did anymore. Can you talk about why you wanted to tackle his life in this documentary?
Well, we started working on this documentary a very long time ago. The idea for it first came about in 2003 when the transcripts from the executive sessions of his hearings were released. And we thought that would be a good opportunity to delve back in and figure out who he was and to see if the transcripts provided any new insights. And in some ways they do. They show us how he operated. They give insight to who he decided to put in front of cameras and bring up in public sessions. So that was the initial idea for making the series. And for one reason or another, it got put off for a long time. We sort of looked at it and thought about it. And then I did do some interviews, fortunately, in early 2016 with some people who knew McCarthy personally, either a journalist who covered him when he was in the Senate, and a couple of people whose lives were connected to his because of his interrogations. So it's been in the works for a very long time.
Well, looking at his rise in politics, this was somebody, as you reveal in the documentary, who wasn't afraid to take on entrenched people, a local judge to start, Robert La Follette Jr., son of fighting Bob La Follette in a Senate primary. In many ways, he hustled and came out of nowhere to get these positions.
Yeah, you have to admire him. He came from a very humble background. He worked incredibly hard from the very beginning to get where he was, first as a judge and then as a senator, and he did take on some very formidable opponents and for a while was pretty successful. So you have to give him a lot of credit for that, I think. And I also think that he was very loyal to his roots and to his family and background and his community throughout his career, even when he was very successful and a senator in D.C.
Another less positive theme that emerges is taking raw material that is grounded in reality, a legitimate fear of the spread of communism in the world, his actual service volunteering in World War II, but then taking that to basically fabricating stories above and beyond all of that. Can you talk about how he did that?
Well, so there was a legitimate fear in the early 1950s about communism. And there had been a number of very high-profile cases in the U.S. of communist infiltration of the government. So he took these fears, and some of them were legitimate fears, and what he did was he was very reckless. He accused people of doing things that they clearly had not done, and he preyed, actually, on a lot of people who were quite powerless and who were not important in federal government or didn't have much power or access to power. So a lot of the people he interrogated and brought back up in front of his committees were, for example, engineers at the Voice of America. Some of them were people who would work in American military installations who had then gone on to become school teachers or, engineers. They were not powerful people, and he really traumatized people. Many people lost their jobs. One Voice of America engineer actually committed suicide when he was threatened with, or he was worried that he was going to have to testify before McCarthy's committee.
You start the documentary with a pivotal moment in McCarthy's career. Before you delve back into his early days, he's the junior senator from Wisconsin. He is not a high-profile politician nationally. He's at a very small local, I think it was a Lincoln Day talk, and that's where he pulls out this idea that, hey, he has a piece of paper with a list of a couple hundred communists in the State Department. Can you talk about that moment and how it captured him a national profile?
Yeah, so in early 1950, his career wasn't going that well. He had managed to alienate many people in the Senate by being kind of disrespectful and not honoring the rules of the Senate. And he supported some very unpopular positions in his first years in the Senate. And so his career was not looking good, and he was worried about prospects of re-election in 1952. And he went to Wheeling, West Virginia, to talk to a women's Republican organization there. And he went with this speech, hoping to sort of garner some attention about the fact that the State Department was infiltrated with communists. And he claimed to have this list of 208 names of communists who were working in the State Department. And that's quite an explosive claim at the time. And it wasn't recorded, the speech was not recorded, but there happened to be a local newsman there at the speech, and he reported it. And it got picked up by the Associated Press and was published around the country, which garnered him a lot of attention. And he was very excited by that attention. And that really kind of reinvigorated his career.
Talking to Sharon Grimberg, creator of the documentary McCarthy, which is airing as part of the PBS American Experience series. Senator McCarthy wasn't the only person on this anti-communist crusade. There was his colleagues in the House, on the House Un-American Committee, were doing similar things. What made him and his name the synonym for what people later called the Red Scare or the witch hunts?
Yeah, so McCarthy didn't invent any of the tactics of what's been come to know as McCarthyism or the Red Scare. He kind of, as one of my advisors, one of my interviews said, he became the demagogue of anti-communism. He was the most reckless and also, the most unending interrogator. I mean, he interrogated hundreds of people over the course of 14 months, holding endless hearings. And he wasn't very concerned with who he hauled up in front of his committee or how accurate any accusations were. He handed his staff stacks of unsigned subpoenas so they could call in almost anybody they wanted to in front of the committee. So he was just very reckless and careless of the witnesses who appeared before him.
And that we should highlight that list of 200 plus communists in the State Department. Did it exist?
It was based on some very old information about people who had been suspected a few years earlier of having either been involved in some front organization or having some link to a union that was infiltrated or dominated by communists. And he had no idea whether those people were still employed by the State Department, whether they'd been cleared and allowed to stay. It was very outdated information and incorrect information.
So he rose quickly to national prominence. You cover his whole career in the documentary. Can you talk about his rapid fall from that prominence?
Well, so he rises very quickly, becomes really well known around the country and very popular with a lot of people because they felt he was protecting national security by hunting out communists in government. And then he takes on the U.S. Army. And at this point, Eisenhower is in the White House. And Eisenhower is very upset. He treats Army generals with complete disrespect. This is a point with Eisenhower, who'd been loath to be too outspoken about McCarthy, really behind the scenes helps to engineer McCarthy's downfall. And he is actually the subject of interrogations himself and hearings over the summer of 1954 around his behavior and the behavior of two key aides in relation to the army. It's a very complicated story, but as a result of those hearings, he is censured by his colleagues in the Senate, and that really leads to him having very little influence anymore in the Senate.
Looking back, I mean, McCarthy explodes into prominence. He makes this wild, exaggerated claim. It goes viral. Doing this project, do you wonder what Joseph McCarthy might have been able to do with the internet?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think there's all sorts of things that are interesting about the time, because I think that at the time, the country was very polarized. And even after McCarthy was censured, he still had polling figures showed that 30% of the country or more still supported him. And so I think that he was able to claim so much of the national attention because he did have the attention of the media. He would say something and the press would report it. He kind of dominated. Would it be different today? Probably it would be different today. But at the same time, I think maybe the people he accused would have had greater access to influencing the public too, and would have been able to respond with social media for themselves, whereas at the time they didn't have the same kind of access to reporters and the media that he did.
We'll leave it there for now. Sharon, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you so much for your interest.
Sharon Grimberg is a documentary filmmaker. Her latest project is McCarthy, which looks at the Wisconsin senator at the center of the Red Scare in the 1950s. The documentary airs tonight at 8 as part of the PBS American Experience series.